Last week, I told you that this week we would sing that song because I presented an idea that comes straight from God's Word, that God's call is upon our lives to be holy. Therefore, the choice is ours. We could choose to be holy or not. And it's not in a, oh, you're holier than thou way. It's set apart for God's great glory. We could choose to be holy. The choice is ours. God gave us the commandment. Be holy as I am holy. We are God's children, created in His image. He's given us everything that we need. He's given us His Son to die for us and the Spirit to indwell within us. We have everything we need to live a God-centered life. Everything we need. But the choice is ours whether we're going to be holy. This week, Becca Scott, one of the missionaries you support, she was here and she saw the bulletin board and she saw that it said, be holy as I am holy. And she said, are you doing a series about holiness? And I said, well, it was just 1 week in what we're doing. And she said, Steve, holiness is what our people need to hear. And she realizes that the most important thing that we could do is to choose to be holy, is to be set apart for God's great glory, to honor Him in everything we do. You see, Jesus wants to do more than just save us, Greg. He wants to transform us. He wants us to become like Him. What a great privilege that is. Oh, I want to be saved and I want to have my ticket punched and I want to be on my way to heaven, but I want to experience life even greater than that. That's a good life. But Jesus said He came to give us life in the full. Life in the full means living and loving like Jesus, becoming like Jesus. We can be like Him. But the choice is up to us. And you just sang the words, I choose to be holy. I choose to be holy. It is something that we either are going to do or we're just not. And every morning we wake up, we can make that choice. And what do you think would happen with your life that day if, you know, after you hit the snooze 2 or 3 times, guilty, and you're awake, and then you make that choice, today is yours. I'm going to set today aside to be holy, to bring you glory. What do you think would happen with your day? You think it'd be better to experience life in the full? Do you think it would be better for those that are around you? You better believe it, because you're not living for yourself. You're living for Him, and that enables you to live for everybody else. That's how it's supposed to work. That's how, after 2,000 years of the Holy Spirit indwelling the hearts of men and women, here we are. You're here because somebody chose to be holy. But the choice is up to you. And this morning's songs are all about walking in holiness, living in holiness. But you don't have to get knighted by the Lord. You don't have to graduate from seminary. You don't have to know everything there is to know about God's Word in order to be holy. Choose to live for Him in all that you do. In all that you do. It's not just on Sunday morning when it's easy. Isn't it easy to be holy when we come in and we're with our church family and we sing songs to the Lord and life just seems easier on Sunday? In all you do, the hard things in life, the celebratory things in life, those belong to God too. The choice is ours. We're going to have a moment of prayer together today, and I want to continue to pray for that, for us, for myself, and for you. The choice. Don't you love choices? Sometimes I'm overwhelmed. I go to a restaurant and they give you a menu and it's like, oh my goodness, somebody just choose for me. There's so many choices. We love choices. Don't we love choices? Well, this choice is yours. God loved you enough to give you a choice. You can say yes to salvation, and you can say yes to holiness. Can you live for Jesus? Can you call yourself a disciple and not choose to be holy every day of your life? I think that would be hard. But if you've had that relationship experience, that transformational, I've been forgiven and I ask the Lord to be my Lord, a great heartache of mine would be that's where it ended for you. That's where it begins. To live like Him is the best life you could ever imagine. And you get to do that. But what if somebody comes against me, Pastor? Did people come against Jesus? Did He choose to glorify God and be holy in everything He did? You better believe it, and we can too. What if they throw a rock at me? Do I pick up a bigger one and throw it back? Better not, because they'll pick up that one and then another one. Or can we just see every instance and circumstance like our Lord? That's my great prayer for all of us. It's not just a saved life, it's a transformed life. It's life in the full. The beautiful thing is, Jesus chose to leave heaven to come here, to die on a cross for us. But then everything after that, Jesus says, now you get to choose. I invite you in. I invite you into my presence. Now I invite you into my existence. You can be like me. Do you want to wait until you die and go to heaven to be like Jesus? You're going to get a new existence, a new body, a new being. You can't even begin to imagine what it'd be like, but can we just go ahead and start right here? We can, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. I want each one of you to live like Jesus, because I love you with all of my heart, and I want you to experience fullness. So we're going to have a moment of prayer where that's what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray for our hearts to be stirred. And if there's part of your life that is just hard for you to give to Him, well, I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit would just meet you in that moment. To lay down every burden you have or anything that separates you from His holiness is to tear that down. The Spirit will help you with that, but it has to be your desire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. I choose to be holy. That's my prayer. Church, you can join my wife and I at this altar. Wherever you choose to pray from, just make sure that you realize where you're at. You're in the Holy of Holies. Speaking of holiness, it's the Holy of Holies because it's the presence of the Lord God Almighty. But you're invited in because you can choose to be holy. Are you glad that the Lord God Almighty is on your side? Because you have an enemy. You have an enemy. One time, Jesus had gathered with His disciples, and He told them this. He got Simon's attention especially, and He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. In other words, our enemy, Satan, asked permission from the Lord God Almighty to go through our hearts, to go through our lives, to try to find something that pull us away from the one that loves us the most, our Lord. Jesus didn't say to Simon, I told him no. Didn't say that. As a matter of fact, Satan has been given approval to go through our hearts, to go through our lives, to come against us. But aren't you glad that the Lord God Almighty is for you? They met that enemy and they were scattered. But because they had their faith grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, they came back. Peter went on to write that we have an enemy that is like a lion, prowling, seeking to devour us. There is spiritual warfare that is going on against us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. But the enemy doesn't want you because he wants you. He wants you because he hates Jesus. And he just wants to separate you from anything that he loves. And it's so easy to be pulled away. Things of the world, situations, circumstance, tragedy, heartache, or just us removing ourselves from his goodness and his holiness. Satan just needs a little bit. This is why it's so important. Thank you, Colby, for that reminder that we are in the presence of the Lord God and he will protect us. And we get to choose to remain there or not. Wesleyans, I love the doctrine of free will. That's what we have. We are free to choose him. Hear this, though. We're also free to unchoose him. And there's an enemy that wants nothing more than to separate us from God's goodness. Thank you for that reminder. Who has ever heard of this expression, make the most important thing the most important thing? Anybody ever heard of this before? A few of you? The idea and the premise, that sounds, well, duh. It sounds simple, but the idea is if we claim that something is the most important thing, we should probably prioritize that thing. We should probably put a little effort behind that. If we're going to say that something is the most important thing, then it probably needs the thing that gets the most attention from us. In other words, it becomes the most important thing. But it's easy to give lip service to something and say something is important to us, but then live counter to that. For instance, preaching to the myself here. Who has ever said, I'm going to get in shape and I'm going to lose some weight and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get all buff and I'm going to do it because I'm a panther, not a bulldog. And I say, that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. I'm just going to get in shape. And then like 2 days into it, it's like, no, I'm done. Did I really make that the most important thing? If I went for like a minute and a half and lifted some weights and then went to Jack's Donuts on the way home, did I really live up to the idea that I made the most important thing the most important thing? Of course not. But there are things in our life, and you could probably say this is the most important thing, and I bet that you are spending a lot of time on that because it's important to you. What might that be? It might be your relationships. It might be your job. It might be your family. It might be your faith. Good things. And if you say this is the most important thing for me to concentrate on right now, you probably give that a minute. Now I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to present an idea to you that I believe is the most important thing that any church can do. And that includes our church. The most important thing that we can do as a church. And as I kind of lay this out, you're probably going to think that it might not apply to some of you. You might think, nah, okay, I see what he's saying, but that doesn't really fit who I am right now because maybe you're in a different time in your life. But I want to promise you, every person in this room, this applies to. All right, show of hands, raise your hand if you're not in this room. All right. Then this message applies to you because you're in the room. This is the single most important thing that we can do as a church. When I came here 15 years ago, one of the things that amazed me about this church, and we have maintained this for 15 years, as a matter of fact, I think we're even better now than we were then. We have always had this amazing generational demographic breakdown at Mount Zion Wesleyan Church. We have our aging saints. And we've always had our aging saints, and some of them have gone on to heaven. Amen? And then we have a little bit younger, maybe my age, and then we have younger folks, moms and dads that maybe are raising teenagers, maybe this is going to apply to some of you, or maybe you're a young adult, not yet with kids or not even married yet, or maybe you're a teenager, and we have plenty of teenagers, or maybe you have elementary kids. We have a lot of elementary kids, and then we have toddlers, and we have a bunch of babies, and hey, good job, moms and dads. It is the single commandment that the Lord God gave that humanity says, no problem, be fruitful and multiply. And thank you, because there are times that our nursery is just busting at the seams. And I want to tell you something about that. Because we have this generational demographic that is so beautiful and balanced, this is a vibrancy. This is a church that is positioned to do great things, because there are churches that wish they had one young person, even somebody of my age, for heavens to Murgatroyd, or younger, in their attendance just 1 week. And there are churches that are literally, not just figuratively, they are literally dying because they're a couple of more deaths away from closing. This is a lot of the churches that surround us. And if you reach a breaking point when you no longer have kids or young adults, it's hard to get that back, because there's nothing to attract a young family, somebody that's seeking to lay down roots, if they don't see the vibrancy of older saints, seasoned veterans, young marrieds, teenagers, elementary kids, toddlers, infants. When somebody walks in the door and they see that, they realize that there's life here. And it's one of the things that is always just bless my heart that we have maintained this beautiful balance, this demographic. The single most important thing we can do as a church, though, is something that Jesus held very, very high. You'll hear me say things like, our kids aren't the future of the church, they're the present of the church. And I mean that in every way possible. Our young people, our teens, and our little kids, they grow my faith in ways that it just astounds me all the time. Kim, your kids, the faith that they have, it just grows my faith, even though they're little. You hear? I just want to pause for a minute. I say, they're not the future, they're the present, but hear this, they're also the future. What we do right now with them, it matters. Not for next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, but it matters for all of eternity, because here's the reality. Unless we surround them with what they need, to have more room for the Spirit of God to work in their hearts, the statistics are so scary. Unless our kids are surrounded by spiritual influences, they may not choose to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Could you imagine what it would be like if nobody took you to church? Where would you be? Somebody did that, probably, for everybody in this room. Somebody loved you enough to be a spiritual influence in your life. They loved you enough to speak the name of Jesus, to read the Bible to you, to teach you about Him, to bring you to church. Somebody loved you enough to do that for you. And without that, where would you be? Do you think it... Not Panthers versus Bulldogs. Let's take another poll. Do you think it's easier that when we create more space for a child to accept the Lord Jesus Christ because we've surrounded that child with spiritual influence, do you think it's easier for that child to make that choice one day? Or a child that never hears the name of Jesus, never sees a godly life lived out in front of them, has never, ever seen the inside of a church? Here's the honest truth. We had an event here once, and a teenager come through, and he saw that on the wall. And he said, why is there a plus sign on the wall? No idea that there is a Lord that gave his life on a cross and was crucified. No idea. We take those things for granted. Which do you think is easier? For a child to choose his way home, a child that doesn't ever hear the name of Jesus or never has somebody surround them with spiritual influence, or a village of people that made their spiritual formation the most important thing, because it is the most important thing, because if they don't make that choice when they're a young adolescent, the statistics say they never will. We can preach all day long, but until if they don't make that choice at 11 years old, they probably won't, ever. That's why all those voices, it just mattered so much. Now, I want to paint a picture for you. In this scripture, you're familiar with this, Jesus is teaching. And as often, when Jesus is teaching, there's quite a crowd gathered. But I want you to picture this. The parents, and probably the mamas, are bringing their children to Jesus. They are making an effort to take their children to Jesus. Jesus is here teaching, and they're bringing the children to Jesus. Why? Because they just want Jesus to touch them. Just touch them. You see, they had this great belief that if Jesus could lay his hands on them and bless them and pray for them, it better positions them. Wouldn't it be great to bring our kids to the carnival? We're going to have cotton candy and hot dogs, and we're going to have carnival games, and then we're going to have Pastor Steve in a dunk tank filled with ice water. Those things are great, and we're going to want to bring our kids to those things. There might be face painting and all those things. And we would not miss that. We would want to take our kids to that, right? But what if instead of a carnival, what if there was a Saturday afternoon when Jesus would be here? Now, I don't mean you dressed up like Jesus, Greg. I mean Jesus. And he's going to be here. And the parents could bring their kids to Jesus. What parent would say, oh no, I got this thing, or I got this game, or I got this event, or I got this party, or I got this thing I need to do? You would do everything, wouldn't you, to bring your kids to Jesus? There's nothing that would prevent you from bringing your child to Jesus. Nothing would stop that. And in this passage of Scripture, I just want you to get the idea that these parents would not be stopped. They had to fight their way through the crowd. And listen, little children and women in this time, in this culture, were about here on the societal rung. They had no place. So it wasn't easy. If mama's bringing their children to Jesus and Jesus is teaching, this is an important moment and people are hanging on his every word, the women with their children are trying to bust through the crowd because they are committed. Do you understand this? They are committed to bring their children to Jesus because they realize the most important thing they could ever do is to bring their child to Jesus. And they wouldn't be stopped. And then the disciples, they were indignant. They weren't going to have it. They were going to stand in the way. They were going to oppose that. If you have your word, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. Just two or three verses. But that's the setting of this story. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, or close your eyes or raise your hands to heaven. These are not the words of Pastor Steve. These are the words of the Lord God Almighty. Then, in the midst of the teaching, then, people brought little children to Jesus, for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Praise be to the glory of God for the reading of his word. Jesus elevated children because Jesus realized the statistics are true then as they are now. You see, he knows a little bit about humanity since he's the author of creation and he knows how he designed each one of us. He knows that unless he gets his hands a hold of a little child, they may not ever choose him. So he took the time to elevate children. He placed his hands on them and he prayed for them and he blessed them, every one of them. Aren't you always amazed when a celebrity sticks around a long time after the event and signs autographs for hours and hours? Could you imagine Jesus laying his hands on each of those children, hugging them, praying for them? Those mamas would not be deterred. They were going to bring their children to Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus has also given them the same thing that he gives us, this beautiful and terrifying gift called free will. And here's what I want to present to you today. Just because Jesus laid his hands on a child does not mean that that child is going to heaven. You want to hear this now? Okay? They've been given free will. Just because Jesus himself, and none of us would keep our children, if Jesus were here, we would drag our kids. Anybody and everybody we know, come and see Jesus. Let Jesus touch you. Let Jesus talk to you. But even that would not guarantee that their kids, their children, were going to go to heaven. Because he's given them this beautiful gift called free will. Because they have to choose for themselves whether or not they will choose one day to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Even though Jesus himself put his hands on them, they still get to choose. But this morning, here's what I want you to hear. As great as that would be, Jesus offers us today and our children. And you might think, well, I don't have children. My children are grown. This applies to each one of us in this room. Jesus is offering us something that's more than a touch from him. A literal physical touch. Jesus offers us something even more than that. Here's what you can do now, 2,000 years later, that Jesus isn't going to be here on a Saturday afternoon. But it doesn't mean that you still can't bring your kids to Jesus. You still can. There's something more than a physical touch that you can do for your kids because that physical touch didn't guarantee those kids to live forevermore in his goodness. There's something better than even that. You can bring your kids to Jesus. You want to hear how? In everything you do, you live a blameless life in front of your kids. Not just on Sundays, but it's every day. In every interaction, every conversation, everything that happens, the way you respond to situations and circumstance, you live it like Jesus in front of your kids. You never raise your voice. You never speak in anger. You show them that you love them, that you value them. You make sure that they know that they're so dearly loved by you first. The best thing you can do and the easiest thing you can do to show your kids that you love them is to love Jesus first. Put a child on your lap and get a storybook of the Bible out. Read to them about Jesus and tell them how much Jesus loves them. And when they're older, you can read an actual Bible with them and do a Bible study. You can kneel at their bedside and you can pray. Age-appropriate prayers. This is hard for a kid to understand. But you can show them how to pray eventually, how to pray outside themselves and to pray for somebody else's heart and life. You can show them how to live a kind, giving, generous life to people that are around you. And you don't think that doesn't make a difference? That's better than a physical touch of Jesus, because you are literally bringing your children to Him when you live like Him in front of them. And you can bring them here. Bring them here. Don't compromise on that, parents, grandparents. Don't let the things of the world stop you from doing that. This takes priority, because this is the most important thing you could ever do. Do you want and just hope and pray that your kids go to heaven? Or are you willing to do everything it takes to make sure that you've created enough space of good things, of godly things, so that they are more apt to choose Him? It's so easy to just let those things slide. So parents and grandparents, that's something you can do like now. Make the most important thing the most important thing. Literally bring your kids to Jesus. Starts right here. But for the rest of you, did you hear the children in the hallway? If that didn't bless your heart, I don't. When service is over, instead of just racing out the door, what if, these children that are just going to be running up and down the hallways, and aren't you glad that we have children running up and down the hallways? Amen. Look, you want your faith to grow? Here's what you do. You grab a hold of one of these kids, and you ask them, what did you learn today? What is this shield, the cardboard shield you have in your hand? Oh, they'll be glad to tell you all about it. They'll tell you about it, and they'll tell you why that matters. And it's not just a cardboard shield, or it's not something made out of toilet paper tubes. To them, it's a treasure, because somebody loved them enough to teach them about Jesus in such a creative way. But now they've got this tangible, physical reminder of how much God loves them, and they'll be eager to tell you about it. They do me. Every time we leave here on Sunday morning, they'll tell me all about the treasures they have and what they learned. Now listen, they're eager to tell me what they learned about Jesus. What if, I love that I'm going to say this, what if they asked you on your way out, what did you learn in big church today? Would you be able to answer? Here's what every one of us can do. Every one of us, young or old, whether we have kids or grandkids or not. When we see these kids, these young elementary kids, the babies even, teenagers, what if we develop relationships with them? What if we valued, what if they knew we valued them by just taking a little bit of time with them? To know them, to learn their names, to engage in a theological discussion. You can do that no matter what age they are. You just bring it down to their level, and guess what? It will cause your faith to grow, I promise. Every one of us can do that. Now, here's the challenge I'm going to leave you with, and this also applies to everyone in this room. We have a need right now. I want you to just put a number in your head of how many adults or teenagers. Teenagers are stepping into this a lot here at Mount Zion. They always have. They're actually more eager to do this than the adults are. How many adults, teenagers too, does it take on a Sunday morning to do an effective children's ministry. That includes Sunday school and kids' church. The hour before this one and this hour. Put a number in your head. What number do you think that is? Anybody want to just put a number out there? 12? Did I hear 12? 20? Some people would guess much lower than that. Because what? We just get a couple people back here teaching them about Jesus? We have, on any given Sunday, we have about 18. But to do it efficiently, we need double that. Because the same 18 can't do this every Sunday. But the good thing is, if we had enough people doing this, we wouldn't have to do it every Sunday, would we? We're so far understaffed with the size of the church we are. If we really made a commitment to make the most important thing the most important thing, I need triple of what we have. I don't need 18. I don't need 36. I need 54. That's what I want. And that doesn't mean that you're signing up to do something every week, and it doesn't mean that you're signing up to do something you don't know how to do. Because this is easier than you think. And as a matter of fact, Karen, our amazing children's director, in her creative ways, lays it all out. And all you have to do is just be there. You can do this. We can do this as a church. We can grow this. But there's an immediate need. I want to direct your attention to the bottom left side of your bulletin. We have an immediate need for the upcoming month. I don't want to cancel anything because I want the most important thing to be the most important thing. We have an immediate need. I want you to read that when service is over. And if you think you can help, I want to hear from you, or you can respond directly to Karen, whatever. But I also want you to consider what it might look like that 1 week out of every 4 months, I can be back here. I can lead a child. There's room for you. And the more we had engaged in this, the easier it'd be for everybody, right? There's some that would just love to do this every Sunday. Well, I love those hearts, but they also sometimes would like to be in this room. If you think that this is something that God is asking you to help with, I think the best way to honor our Lord is to realize that we have the opportunity. When you're holding a baby, listen, when you're holding a baby, you're not just holding the future, you're shaping the future. To realize that I get to be a part of that just by holding a baby in a nursery. I'm shaping that child's future. Because everything that happens, especially back there, it just matters. It is the most important thing. And it's not because I want to keep the demographics of this church awesome. But we are, but that's not my goal. My goal is, unless we reach them spiritually, we're not creating enough space that gives them the best chance, an opportunity as possible to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And we all get to be a part of that. You can develop a relationship with a child running up and down these hallways. That doesn't take any effort at all. Or you can say, you know what, Steve, Karen, I can do this. I could be a part of this. Sign me up. We're going to send you some correspondence of all the ways that you could help with this. And all you have to do is step into something. Oh, there are parameters. There are things we're going to expect. But could you imagine doing anything more important than that? I can't think of one thing more important than raising a child in the way they will go. And then when they are old, they will not depart from it. That's a principle found in the book of Proverbs. It's not an absolute, but it's a principle. Understand this. If you train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, or another way to say it, when he's old enough to choose for himself, if you've invested of yourself in Him, He will remember. He will have been formed by you. You have helped Him make the right decision. You leave Him to His own devices without speaking into His heart and His life. You haven't created enough room for Him to make the right eternal choice. But if you train Him in the way He will go, when He's old enough, He'll choose the Lord. Jesus understands that about children because He made the children. That's why He took the time with children. Church, we need to take the time with our children. Oh, and if we have a vibrant, growing children's ministry, it is the thing that will grow this church literally faster than anything else. So church, you want this house to be a house that is exploding, that is relevant, that matters in our community, this is the most important thing we could do. Alicia? I would invite the current board members of this church and our most previous board members to come up front and join me right about here. So 20 years ago, something amazing happened here. A young lady started working for the Lord by serving this house. And she decided to become what we called back then the church secretary, but we now refer to Sherry as our administrative assistant. She said yes to that role. And then, Sherry, come on and join us. Help me remember, how long had you been on the job before you realized you were going to have a baby? Day one, she realized she was going to have a baby, and there were times that her office was like a nursery and then, you know, just a playpen and a way to help raise Micah. And we've done a pretty good job making this house his home. It was literally his home. And some of you don't know also about Sherry's journey, but she moved into the house, about 15 years ago. And she's been right there next door. And so she's not only just served us in a Monday through Saturday way, but she's also served us many times by just walking up the parking lot and doing the things that she has to do. I'm going to let Liz present to you, Sherry, a gift that we have from the church. And then I'm going to share some of the things Sherry told me about you because she didn't think she could do it. So, Liz?
Well, on behalf of the church board, we are so very thankful for Sherry and her service, not only to the Lord, but to us, the congregation. And Sherry, I speak for everybody when I say we could not do this without you. You are an amazing attribute to this church, the way you design our bulletins, the way you help with all the flyers. You answer those text messages that, you know, come at all hours, but you are simply amazing, and we are absolutely blessed here at Mount Zion to have her as our church secretary. There's so many things that this lady is creative at. So with that, the church board wanted to recognize you and thank you for all that you do, and we hope that you're able to use this gift in a way that will be like vacation time for you.
Yes, I will sit back down in the chair.
But I will also, real quick, are there any other board members that want to say anything or have a quick story about Sherry? I know how much she loves to be up front to share. Anybody? Yeah. Okay.
We just love her.
Yeah, we do. We love her.
Sherry is more than my secretary because actually I don't allow her to use that term except one day a year. Can you imagine what day that year is? Secretary's day is the only day because I call her my ministry partner. And without her, I really could not do what I do. She is what enables me. And there are many times that she just helps me in ways that she doesn't even know that she helps. But any situation, she is willing to help, and she always has. And one of the things that she finds interesting about her role here is that it's never the same. Every day is just different. And you never know what we're going to expect and what we're going to run into. And I think that's one of the things that's good, and it's also sometimes frightening, is what we have to go through and experience. But honestly, I don't know of anybody that wants to serve the Lord in such a behind-the-scenes, not an upfront person, but willing to just serve without being noticed than Sherry does. And so, Sherry, thank you for coming along beside me, being not only just a wonderful friend, but truly a ministry partner here with me. I couldn't do this role without you. But Sherry shared some things with me that she didn't think she could get through. But she wants you to know that she loves you deeply with all of her heart. And this place was, is, and will continue to be a safe haven for her and for her son. That this place enabled her to raise her son the way she's been able to raise her son. And Mike is an amazing young man. You know that. And that's because of what she found here. And it wasn't just a job. It was a place to truly be loved, to love and to be loved, and to be surrounded by so many people that are just amazing. And she feels that way about each one of you, that you are her safe haven. She loves standing next to you, serving along beside you, and honoring the Lord that way with her role. And you know she's immensely talented. The publications that we put out, the bulletins, the front of the bulletin, the bulletin itself, everything that she produces, it's completely done with professionalism. She's a graphic designer by education, and she applies that great skill, but the most important skill that she applies every single day that she shows up is her amazing heart for Jesus. So, from the bottom of all of our hearts, Sherry, thank you so much. Okay, church, we're not going to make Sherry say a word. She'll cry more than I am. All right, church. Wow, there's a lot to do out there. There just is. There's a dying world. They need to know about Jesus. And if you don't show up in their life to teach them, maybe they never will know the truth that you already know. So, church, you are sent.